afternoon.
Blog Talk Radio.
To the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. I'm Bishop Cook, and I'm here to welcome you, hallelujah, to Wounded No More with Prophetess Vanessa Carver. And now, my brothers and sisters, without further ado, the host, your host and your facilitator, Prophetess Vanessa Carver.
Thank you, Bishop. It's good to be with everybody again this new year. There's so much to be thankful for, and there are so many things to be excited about at the same time. Despite what's going on in the world, we have to know that we are in the world and not of it. And I'm excited about the things that God wants to do through me for this show. This topic is called Love in 3D. But really, for the next 3 months, I will be calling this the Love Platform. When I begin to think about the topics that I wanted to share this year, love just kept coming back and back. But it was also out of my own personal studies and experiences that God was dealing with me about reflecting about 2020. And of course, I will not give a summary about or my opinion or commentary about anything that's going on in the world right now. But I think that at a level in my soul, there was a lot of turmoil, but there was a lot of conviction and change and maturation and all that. And so it was a good thing. And God's always dealing with me at places of great transition about my love walk. And he took me to 1 Corinthians 13. And one thing I realized, there's certain principles in our walk with God that can never be taught enough. Because every time we grow, every time we change, there's some development or some great movement in our life, he goes back to the elementary things or the basic things that we should know. But those things expand. Love is one of them. Faith's another. Trust is another. I mean, we all have a list. But love is one of those things that he constantly brings back to me as a servant leader, as one who has influence that he has given me. It's not about somebody liking you or somebody thinking you're so gifted. It's about really God anointing you to do what you do. And I believe in that wholeheartedly. So why wouldn't he address my love walk? And so that's what I want to share with you all tonight. And he took me to 1 Corinthians 13. Now, that's the love chapter. But this is what I specifically stopped on. I read, one verse, the first verse, and it says here, and then I'm going to stop at 2, because this is where he had me stop, and I'll explain to you why. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Number 2, and if I have a prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove the mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Stop. So when I began to read that, I thought about all the things that I had grown in. When it talks about, and this is the ESV I'm reading from, and I am going to read it in the Amplified, because for whatever reason, you guys know, I like the Amplified because it really expands it a little bit better as it pertains to the emphasis on certain things. But as I began to read that second verse, I kept going back and reading it again and reading it out loud. So there's all these gifts and talents that God has developed in me throughout the years as I've served, things I've learned through whatever my giftings are, whatever I've worked for through studying, through meditating on the word, just walking with God, I've gained, right? And Paul is saying you can have prophetic powers, understand all mysteries and have all this knowledge and all this wisdom that you walk in and all this influence. But if you have not love, you're nothing. And it just kept coming back to me. I have been studying some really interesting topics and have gained a lot of knowledge, I would say, in the last 2 to 3 years that has enhanced and made me a better leader, that I can teach certain things and expound upon certain things and pray in certain ways. And I mean, at the same time, that's great. But if I don't have love in that, what's the point? And I'm going to bring it up to you a little bit more. The Amplified Bible reads this way, 1 Corinthians 13 and 2. And if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing, a useless nobody. And I want that to sit in your chest for a minute right now, a useless nobody without love, without God's love in you. No matter what you do, no matter what you worked hard for, no matter what doors God has opened for you, no matter how much favor you have on your life, no matter how anointed you are, no matter how much influence you have, no matter how many people you've laid hands on and they've been healed, no matter what prophetic word has come forth and come true or whatever, it doesn't mean anything if it is not God's love in you. And if it's without love, it's nothing. And that is, even now that I'm reading it, I'm in tears because I realize all this stuff that we have available to us, all these things that people walk in, all these things that God has endowed upon me. I'm blessed in so many ways, spiritually and naturally. I can say that with full conviction. And yet, God does not change what he says. He says what he means, and he means what he says. Without love, I'm nothing. I'm useless. I'm noisy. That's what I said. I taught this one time, and I realized God was, you know, emphasizing to me, I am noisy. You are noisy if you're not doing that with my love. So there are certain things that he takes me through to deal with my love walk. Now, the impetus for this teaching, with series that I'm working on, that will be present, that I will be presenting every week, is every 2 weeks, because I do it every 2 weeks. But I will be talking about love in 3D, having to do with loving God, loving yourself, and loving others. So I will be presenting some teaching and some sharing with you, talking to you like I'm talking to people that I love and care about, people that I'm serving, people that I'm teaching, about what God has to say in his word, and then, you know, a mixture of just revelation and things that God has said to me to help somebody, and not to say your experience has to be my experience, but I want you all to hear the voice of God in what I am saying. I was so convicted by that. And he said, I really want you to dig out this thing like a new well. It's a new well of information that people will gain. It's a new revelation as you're teaching this, so that there will be levels of transparency and growth in my own life. Because you can say one thing, but you have to do it. Love is not just what you say, it's what you do. So I think that when we just remember what the word says and what Jesus said about love and what he did, not just what he said, but what he did, that's really important. It's like you see people doing all these things. Paul goes on to say further in 1 Corinthians 13, but the love has to be there. And I think we have to be careful of what we think love is versus what God is saying his word, what love is, simply, and take it from there. And any place where there's an impediment or struggle or challenge, he can help us in those areas where we're weak, where we don't have the capacity. I'm just being honest with you all, because I feel like this teaching is going to really heal and break some things on people, me included. Because I think we need to see ourselves through the light of God, not through man, not through a denomination, not through what, you know, our degrees, and not through somebody else's perspective or somebody else's expectations, but through the eyes of the Lord. And it's really important to see that, so that we can know that everything that he's asking us to do with the love of God is it's definitely in us. We have the potential. It's in us. The platform, the love platform, has to do with anything. I titled that because I realized a platform is something that is raised above the level of a surrounding area. And so I believe that when we walk in love, we are elevated above the ways that the world does it, the ways that our family did it, or tradition, or anything, or legalism, or anything like that. It's God's way. And we can really say and do that with total confidence. The love platform. So that's what this series is going to be called for the next 3 months. And I'm really attempting to really listen to the heart of God, and not just say a bunch of scriptures that are very important to me, but you have to, just like I've been saying for the last couple of months, make this your own. Whatever you hear, make it your own, and let God begin to deal with you about areas that that you need to improve in, or even areas that you might be challenged in, that he wants you to walk in and own, and show his love through you. I love to hear, you know, and I'm going to give some really honest stories about people that were servant leaders that went through times in their lives that they struggled and felt far from God, from the Pope to Mother Teresa. I will be finding different testimonials and things to read to you to help you understand that some of the greatest servants struggled with their love walk, struggled with loving themselves, struggled with loving those they served, and struggled with loving themselves. So we all come to those places of crisis, and I think that in in the background of our love walk with God and our walk with others that we know they're in the body of Christ, there's this dark world behind us. There's a blackout, if you will, a lot of times, and we're the only light that people see, for real. And that's not just in us carrying the Bible or speaking or telling somebody that they love, that God loves them. It's about what we do. It's about the peace that we bring to their hearts. It's about the truth that we tell and not maneuver and not, cover up the truth, but tell them the truth and love them no matter what, and find strength to do that the way God tells us to do it. And so this is what I'm going to be talking about for the next 3 months. But God will raise you up, and he will push you and propel you forward and strengthen you to love the way that he says love. And love takes a lot of patience. And sometimes, love, you do things crying. You do things because it's your flesh is on fire as you sacrifice and do certain things and deal with rejection and all this. And I'm going to do my best to really touch on these things to the best of my ability, because I feel like it's not going to be an easy lesson to teach, only because I'm going to be bringing out some things that people don't always talk about. What gets in the way of our love walk, and what do we say is love? And God is saying, that's not love, that's lust, or that's codependent, or that's all this stuff that he says that we do, or that we try to substitute, and it's not really love. We have to take it back to the Gospels. And I'm going to be reading some of those tonight just to get you to get a feel of where I'm going and where God is dealing with me about. And if there's something that sticks out to you, take that and just begin to dwell on and meditate on what God has to say in that. But it started with 1 Corinthians 13, right? Like I shared with you about how God dealt with me about, if you do all these things, you have all this knowledge, have all this wisdom, and if you don't have love, you are useless. You're useless and you're noisy. He took me to Matthew 7. Let's go to Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. And this is Jesus speaking. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. This is Jesus speaking. 21 through 23. And it's in the Amplified. And so Jesus is saying, I never knew you. You remember that scripture, how he was dealing with them about that? I'm going to make sure I give you a little bit of the context. So just know that I'm picking out verses, but I really want to impress upon you to go back and really read everything in context. Read the references in the middle, and read, if you have a study Bible, get you a good study Bible too, so that the word can come alive for you. But this is in the 7th chapter, and this has to do with, excuse me, 7. I never knew you. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And on that day, many will say to the Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, workers of lawlessness. Isn't that interesting? Lawlessness, this is what the ESV says. This verse cross-reference with what I read in Corinthians about prophesying and having all this knowledge and not knowing him. Because once again, we become task-oriented. And there's no relationship and just doing, and then you're disconnected. Some people stay on task and they get a lot done, but then there's no intimacy and there's no unity with God. And how can you really walk in love and have the love of God if all you're doing is doing, and you're not connecting? It's kind of like that Mary Martha syndrome thing, which is another great example of Mary just being so busy to the point where all you think about is one thing, but you're not thinking about connecting to the one who's enabling you to do what you do. who is the reason for why you're doing what you're doing, why you're serving people, why you're loving on people. He's the reason. And for some reason, when we get away from that, love is absent. There's no love. We might care. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I care about that, but I don't know if I love. So there's a difference between caring and loving. God knew exactly what had to come out tonight, because I had wrote in my notes, I said, Lord, please, you speak to me. And he wants me to emphasize that piece right there, caring versus loving. And love is sacrificial. Love is unconditional, too. Caring, not so much. depending on, some people are very nurturing and very caring, but love goes a lot further. So it's a great start, but let God take that caring heart that you have and develop it into his love. I think that will open doors for intimacy. That's why he said, I never knew you. I didn't know you. I don't know who you are. You did all these things for me, but did you really do it for me? You know? Or did you do it because it had to be done? Or it really goes to your motive. So, you know, don't charge it to me. Charge it to me being led by God. If I just get people to really see where your heart is when you do things, are you trying to please people? Are you trying to please yourself? Are you trying to be in a place where you want to do it so that nobody says anything? Or that's what you're supposed to be doing? And so, but yeah, you feel indifferent about it, or you're not really connecting. These are the kind of conversations that God wants us to have with him. And I believe that it really gets down to him helping us, knowing that, no, I don't always want to do this, Lord. No, I realize my love walk in this area is not where it should be, or if it's even existent at all. I care, but do I really love? No. And I say, I don't even know what that looks like in this, with this assignment, you know, depending on what your assignment is or how you serve. Or just be honest and say, maybe I've gotten away with why I'm doing this in the first place. Lord, I don't know where you start and where I begin. That's truth. See, that goes back to that scripture about having truth in the inward parts. He desires for us to have truth in the inward parts. And then in that place of intimacy, that's where the love of God can really grow. A lot of times it is having a transparent heart. It is an inside job. So we have to realize when we have those insights, when those questions come in our serving, when we're not too busy to be detached and we're saying, Lord, bless my hands, bless what I do. Help me not to do things for people. Even the people I serve, I care about them and I love them, but I'm not trying to please them, even though I'm helping them. You know what I mean? It gets down to really the core of why we're doing what we're doing. When we read these scriptures, they're supposed to really open up our minds and our hearts to see. And that is what that did for me when I read Matthew 7:20. And he said, I never knew you. You did all these things, but did you know me while you were doing them? Why would you think I would know you? Did you include me in them? And that's just not saying, okay, we do this in the name of Jesus. No, that means that inside job. Where the love is cultivated, where the love is being developed. And love can be developed from places of truth about the situation, about you, about your heart, about your motives, the purity of it all. And that comes through just experience. I mean, I think Bishop Cook is a good one to how she has shared her story and the different things that she's gone through. And I think that she's always is very transparent about the things she's gone through and the development of it all. This is a lifetime thing. I believe that as we continue to serve, that's always going to be a question. Are you doing this for me? Or are you doing it for them? Are you doing this for you? Who are you really doing this for? Especially when we become tired, especially when we become distracted, especially when we become our loyalties, our alliances are displaced. That's when he really begins to question us about our love walk and the patience. And the things that our love walk can really produce, you know, even when people reject what you're doing and you're serving and you get rejection, if you're doing it in the Lord, if you're doing it with his love and you're doing it in love, he always has a way of protecting your heart, not necessarily your feelings, but your heart. You know what I mean? Because he helps you just keep it, shake it off and keep going. and not make it about the people, but make it about serving him. It gives you the right perspective so you don't get hard. But then there may be in some cases you get hard, and then he begins to deal with your heart about that so that your love doesn't grow cold. So I think that, you know, whether we're doing things and with people that say they know us or people that don't know us, people are going to disappoint. So you can't make it about the people. You have to really cultivate a relationship, an ongoing relationship with the Lord, so that your love for him pours out for love of others. And that's what this whole 3 months is going to be about, how that happens, you know, how we can just talk back and forth about it and learn from it and listen to the Holy Spirit about it. I want us to go to John 13 as well. John is one of my favorite books in the Gospels, one of the, because they call that the love book as well, the love, that whole book is about love, and so it's of Christ. John 13, and it's going to be verses 34 through 35. And this is Jesus giving them the commandment. Most of these scriptures are Jesus speaking. I give you a new commandment, that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this, all men know that you are my disciples. If you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves, keep on showing love among yourselves. Now, this is a very interesting chapter, verse and thought, loving each other in the body of Christ, how we love each other, how we treat each other, how we mistreat each other. And every time there's something that happens in the news and Christians start commenting, especially with social media and things, this scripture just pops up in my head. And by this, all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another, that conditional word, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. Isn't that interesting? I'm going to read this again because God keeps telling me to read it. By this, all know that you are my disciples. My disciples, if you love one another and if you keep on showing love among yourselves. All the things that Christians do and don't do, people say make us Christians, or they do this and this. It's really, if we just take this one piece right here, how we show love towards one another. That's how the world knows we're really Christians. That we are disciples and followers of the principles of Christ. How we treat one another. Stop. I mean, I could think about this all night and all day, and I don't see this. I don't see it in my own life like I should. And I don't see it out in the world like I should. And when I say out in the world, what I mean is how we treat one another outside of our perspective, denominations,
amen,
and things of that nature and race.
Yes.
I don't see it. And I did not mean to cry.
Thank you, Jesus.
I knew
Hallelujah.
This topic was going to be hard. And I knew it was going to be kind of, I had to be transparent, and I think that's the best way to go. But I think it just made me extremely sad. But when I was beginning to prepare for this last week, Bishop, I just saw that, and I was like, whoa, what? We don't see that.
Right.
And you have to always start with yourself. You start with
that's
yourself
right.
first, and then
amen.
Work outward. And I don't see this, especially now in light of all the things that have been happening, even in 2020 and before then. I said, Lord, do we have a lot of work to do? He said, we do. He's been dealing with me about restoration and reconciliation and all those things. And we always want to put the cart before the horse and try to fix stuff and restore things when we really need to repent. And reconcile And we haven't even started doing that in a lot of ways, as it pertains to some historical things that we still see in this country and even amongst the body of Christ. That's how they know us. It's how we treat one another. And then we wonder why people have turned totally away from Christianity and totally turned away from God when they see how Christians go after each other.
Yes.
And treat each other. We are just heartless sometimes and unapologetic about it and unrepentant about it. And I think that is what grieves my heart, and I know that grieves his heart.
Yes.
And so I realized, I said, okay, God, you know, people got to want to change. People got to want to really have the heart, have your heart, and how we treat one another is not right. And this is something that's not just because of an election or whatever. This is, let's just be honest about this, how we continue to see this. And it's heartbreaking. And when I think of the younger generation looking at their relationship with God or just religion as a whole, and that's always one of the topics that come up. They say, well, y'all can't even agree. That'll be like, how do I know that's where y'all can't even agree? Y'all go at each other, throw each other under the bus, tear each other to, you know, just you over here and him, they over there. And how's that unity? How's God glorified in that? And they're right. And what can you say from there? So we'll be talking about that too. I also want to go to John 15:9-17. Matthew Mark, and I want to give you a little bit of background on that, but I apologize for crying. I did not plan that. That is just reading the scriptures and just seeing that's how they know who we are. It's how we love one another. So I feel like people don't know us. The world don't know us. There's no witness anymore. Some people are even afraid to say they're Christians. To say that they follow Jesus, they are afraid. And so all these things are I think, apparent to us for a reason.
Yeah.
And in John 15, verses 9-7, it's about Jesus talking about he's a true vine. I'm going to read a little bit. I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. Continue in his love with me. This is what Jesus is saying. And if you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love. I've told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be full measure and complete and overflowing. These are principles, and he's describing love. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I've loved you. No one has greater love. No one has shown stronger affection than to lay down and give up his own life for his friends. You're my friends if you keep on doing the things I command you to do. I do not call you servants and slaves any longer, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, working out. But I have called you my friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. I have revealed to you everything that I have learned from him. And you have not chosen me. I chose you, and I have appointed you, and I have planted you, that you might go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, and that your fruit may be lasting, that it may remain and abide, so that whatever you ask Father in my name, as presenting all that I am, he may give it to you. Now, even though he was speaking to the disciples, I really feel he was speaking to us too. I know he is. He's pouring out his heart to them about his love for them and how he wants them to love others and how he wants them to be filled with joy and delight. Now, he also warned them about what they would face because of this, but it just seems like this is just like, just remember, this is what I command you, that you love one another. You're going to, it's almost like he's saying, you're going to need it. You're going to need to show each other love because of the things that you're going to face. And I think in Matthew 23, he does tell them the things that they will face through the Gospels and different accounts. But the reason why it brought tears to me again is because I felt the heart of God in this right now as I'm reading this. It's a love letter. Like, I think the whole book of John is a love letter. About how he loved them because he was loved by his Father. And so he's just passing it on. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be, see, that's why it goes back to 13 in Corinthians about doing all these things, right? Being all these things. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm this and I'm that. And I'm God's anointed and this and that. And then there's no love. What's the point? What is the point? What's the point when we live in such a dark world, but everything you turn on in social media, from the TV, everything is dark or has a back dark drop, or there's all kinds of interwoven demonic things in everything almost. It's like putting too much salt in food. You can't take it out without have you ever had a meal that you just accidentally put too much salt in and you couldn't do nothing but throw it out because you couldn't even eat it? I feel like when it comes to certain things in our culture, it's like that, putting too much, you can't hardly do nothing with it.
That's true.
You can't consume it. So would it behoove us to realize how much of the love of God is needed to be shown in our own life, and especially towards how we love one another? And I think that in this passage, he talks about, like, I'm reading in Amplified, continue in. Let it abide. It should be living in you. Let it remain. It should be in you. You shouldn't have to constantly go somewhere and fill up. It should be in you. It should be overflowing, right? And I feel like, okay, God, you know, let's talk practical. How do I do this? And a lot of times it is through serve. It's how you serve. It's you keeping that open communication with him as you're serving. It's you asking him to help you in places where you're weak or where you need development, and asking him to help you to purify the motives in your heart, all of that, and then some. I know I'm leaving out a lot of stuff. But we can practically take away from this passage some things that these will keep some questions open in our own heart tonight. About how do I keep the love and joy when everything is so dark around me? I mean, that's not supposed to be my perspective, God, but I don't want it to affect my love walk, you know? And with some of us, we need to say, I've allowed it to affect my love walk. All this junk. Oh. And then he'll bring you back to get you back on track. You know what I mean? And so when I'm reading this passage, it's about being connected in intimacy once again. He's connected to the Father, so he's loved, and so he can give love. We have to realize that wherever our motives are coming from, wherever this, our storage, wherever this love is, it has to be there all the time. And I think that when we get empty, we need to be honest about, I'm empty, Lord, or whatever. You know, we might just be in burnout, or whatever it is. I feel like this is affecting my love walk. And that's what's going to enable me to be able to teach about the balance of the 3D, loving God, loving yourself, and loving others, so that you don't get all empty. Storage is always full. And if that's unrealistic, I think God will show us that too while I'm busy, you know, studying and everything else. But however, you know, just remember, it's always an inside thing. It's an inside job, and it's a commandment. So there aren't too many options. You don't have multiple choice. If it's a commandment, it's a mandate. You have to love each other. Tell me, there's no conditions about, well, what if they do this or what if they don't? No, love. So I'm going to also read 14th chapter of John, and this is verses 15 through 21. And this is Jesus speaking once again. 14, 15 through 21. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. So if you really love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome to take to its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him, but you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless or desolate, bereaved, forlorn, or helpless. Because I live, you will live also. And at that time, when that day comes, you will know for yourself that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And the person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and will show, reveal, and manifest myself to him. And I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. Once again, this is a really good verse. It's a really good, you know, I love to emphasize. So if you really love me, you know, if you, sometimes we have to ask God to show us how to love him because we don't know how to. Maybe because of where we came from, what our background is. We don't know what that looks like. You'd be surprised how when you begin to just pour out your heart and say, Lord, show me how to love you. Show me. I don't, what is that? How do I do that? It's the best person to ask is him. And in his word, it's as we begin to fill up with his word, you'd be surprised how that will help you exercise your mind. You begin to be receptive to the voice of God and the leading of God and its practical things. It's not so, you know, deep and hard for you to conceive and understand it. He loves us violently. He loves us extravagantly, more than we can even comprehend. I do know that. And I believe that with my whole heart. And I believe that if we know that, if we start to think about how he's given us everything that we need, and he never will leave or forsake us, as we do have the Holy Spirit to comfort and counsel us and intercede and advocate for us, that we can do those things for others with his love, in his love. So as I think about this passage and think about how he left them to let, you know, they were desperate for him to be with them. And when he was telling them where what's going to have to happen, they were bereaved, to say the least, because they had grown to love him. But he told them that that love would be in them because of what he was going to, the Holy Spirit was going to come. And so the Holy Spirit is with us, and I believe the Holy Spirit enables us to do all things and to love people where they are and to learn to love the Father and to learn to love ourselves. He can help us do all those three. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, right? The Spirit of truth. Because it does not see him or know him and recognize him, but you know and recognize him. So we definitely have an advantage. And once again, that's that word platform. We definitely are raised above the status quo. We can understand and see the heart of God and be able to walk in it and engage and stay connected to it in the way that God is leading us. I want to read Luke 10. 25 through 37. If you just, you know, if you begin to, I used to do this all the time when I first started studying the Bible, I would just say, what does the Bible say about trust? What does the Bible say about love? What does the Bible say about loving your enemies? What is about, and so, especially now, you really can do that, and you'd be surprised all the different passages and things that come up. And then you pray and you say, Lord, what today is it today that you would have me to do once I read these scriptures? You know, show me where I need to grow and show me, there, is there something that I can do so that I'm just not saying and reading, but I'm applying what I'm reading. And he will give you that. He'll tell you what to say and he'll tell you what to do. And this is in Luke 25 through 37, Luke 10. And then a certain lawyer rose to try to test him, saying, Teacher, what do I do to inherit everlasting life? that is to partake of eternal salvation in the Messiah's kingdom. And Jesus said to him, it is written in the law. Isn't it written in the law? How do you read it? And he replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you've answered correctly. Do this. Do it. And you will enjoy active, blessed, endless life in the kingdom of God. Determined to acquit himself of reproach, said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? So once again, I think this is a perfect example of us realizing that he's saying, who is your neighbor? He said, Jesus, taking him up, replied, a certain man, he gives him a parable, going to Jerusalem, down to Jericho, and he fell among the robbers. Now, this is the story of the Samaritan. And you know how people had robbed him and beat him, leaving him half dead. Now, by coincidence, a certain priest was going along the road, and he saw him, and he passed by on the other side, right? And then a Levite came down the place and saw him and passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he traveled along, he came down to where he was when he saw him, and he was moved with pity and sympathy. And he went to him and dressed his wounds and pouring wine on oil, and then set him up on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out two denaries and 2 days' wages and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I myself will repay you when I return. So which of these, Jesus said, which of these three do you think proved himself a neighbor to him who fell among the robbers? And he answered, the one who showed pity and mercy to him. And that is a practical way of how he was answering this man about how to show love. So I just read that scripture to share with you about how it's not as hard as we think. It may not be easy sometimes. It may be challenging. But God has an answer. The Holy Spirit has an answer to teaching us and showing us how to show love right now. And the love of God to each other, to him, and to one another. And I just want to end right now with a short prayer before I hand the rest of the show over to Bishop. Because my heart has been moved in what I have presented. And I wrote down right before the show started, probably an hour before the show started, that God, please speak through this series in Jesus' name. And he definitely did. And I'm thankful. Father God, I thank you and for this opportunity once again to speak clearly, Lord, to your people and to defy, Lord, our own hearts to be pure towards you and towards those you love. I thank you, Lord, today for new revelation and understanding, blessing Spirit Alive Network. Thank you for this platform to teach this and to live it. And I pray, Lord, that every person hearing this, whether it's now or later, Lord, that you'll bless them and that it'll be meat for them and substance for them and strength for them in the days to come. In the light of everything that we're living in, Father God, that we begin to pray with your heart and your mind. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Glory to God. You have been listening to Wounded No More with Prophetess Vanessa Carver. Now, if you have a question or you would like to just bless the woman of God, encourage the woman of God, love on the woman of God, and you're in our studio, if you would kindly press your 1, that would alert me that you would like to have a word on tonight, because we do have a few minutes. Or if you're in our chat room and you have a comment or a question of Prophetess Vanessa, please begin typing and I will relay that to her. Prophetess, I am so looking forward to this series, because you know, we can't teach, preach, and demonstrate love enough, especially the love of God. So I just want to thank you on a personal level for this. I'm just praising God for you. And so if there's no comments or any questions,
Prophetess, you can close your program.
Okay. I just want everybody to be thinking about some of the things, maybe, Bishop, that we can open up a forum one night where we actually just have questions about some real heart issues that get in the way of our love walk. I'm really letting this be an organic situation. I'm letting God just real time deal with us about these topics today, and not just citing problems, but the solutions as well. Maybe even bringing us to real life situations where we'll have to, even maybe apply it and share a testimony. I'll be the one to do that because I think that I'm not just going to be, you know, talking about it. I'll be about it. And I think that's where the challenge is. But I know God can strengthen us. And I just pray that I'm not doing this alone. I think one of the months we'll do a love challenge thing for those who want to participate, because I think that unity in itself is, I think, the biggest burden I have right now, Bishop, is how we love each other in the body of Christ, and it's not there.
Yeah.
That, I think, is what brought me to tears tonight. Because you see it so now, so plainly, and if you ever doubted it,
prevalent.
That it was there, you see it now.
And
it's
the
there.
Part that hurts me is that they are unapologetic.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
It's like God, you know, he gave us a few commandments, and on the top of that list was to love one another.
That's
as he loved us.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm saying, really? Is this the way you want to demonstrate the love of God toward you? Because that's not his love.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that you're having this. Let us address the heart issues. I say let us get past it, get over ourselves, and just sit down. Because, you know, time is winding down, and we need to be redeeming our time wisely by loving as God has told us to love, demonstrating that love in a way that we can reach others for the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. We need to be out there, and, you know, like you said, it doesn't matter how gifted you are, how beautiful you are, how well you preach, none of that. If you're not sharing it with the world, with a dying, sin-sick world, then you're still missing the mark. So, my sister, I'm looking forward to this. I love it. I love it. I love it. It was an awesome, I always love your teaching. Because they're clear, they're precise, and you get right to the point. Because we don't have time to drag it out and sugarcoat it and make it pretty. We just need to tell people what thus says the Lord, so that they might be delivered. They might be saved. They can be delivered. They can be healed. They can be redeemed, transformed, and restored. You know, and that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the end result. We're looking for the end result. That they love, that, you know, we want to show love in them in such a way that they will love the Lord so much that they will go out and love others in return.
Somebody else.
Just,
that's right.
You know, they'll say, hey, I remember when I was down, when I was at my lowest point, and then, you know, this man of God or woman of God came along and they knew just what to say, or they just prayed with me. Or they smiled at me when I thought I was invisible. Or, they came over to me when I was new in the church. In the church, they made sure they came over and sat with me. You know, I might have not looked like, dressed like them. I might have not had it to dress like them. But there were still some sisters that came by and sat with me and made me feel good about being there, and made sure
that's
that I wanted to come back again. You know, that's what we got to get into. We got to get over ourselves and our own pride and what we think people should
that's
be,
true.
Deal with what is, and get on with the let's loving one another through it.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So this was a beautiful program. I just pray that you continue to walk, everyone continues to walk with Prophetess Vanessa. She is a powerful and anointed teacher and a prophet, and I praise God for her gifting. And I and like I said, you if you continue to walk with her, you are truly be blessed time and time again. So I just pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed weekend, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And on behalf of my household, Prophetess Vanessa and myself, and the entire Spirit Alive family, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night. God bless you, and go in peace. Amen. Beautiful,
good
beautiful
night.
Job, beloved.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
I love
you.
You.
Good night.